Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our series on the book of Isaiah, and today Edward Hoskin, Methodist lay reader, talk is entitled Receiving His Promise in the Messiah. Our readings are taken from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10, and Romans 15, beginning at verse 8. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
This reading is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 8, where Paul is helping to explain how the prophecies given to the Jewish people centuries ago apply to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. Beginning at verse 8. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. But moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations, and in him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow and hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Edward's talk. That's me. That's Edward. That's good. So here we go. Do you have a family tree? Now, I wonder how many of you have tried to put together a family tree. Maybe you're not interested, maybe it's something you've tried and it haven't got very far. But how far back might it go? And again, this, you know, some people might go back a couple of generations. It's in their family sort of memory, and others might try and trace back to beyond current family memory and into sort of realms of history. But the real question is, I want to ask you and make you think about, is it important to you? You know, is it something that really identifies you? Is it something that makes you feel that you belong to a particular family? And so have that thought in mind as we progress through the rest of what I'm going to say to you. So we're continuing with our series on Isaiah, our study into Isaiah, and today's subject is receiving his promise in the Messiah. And we've had this reading from Isaiah chapter 11, the shoot of Jesse, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and his roots, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. So there we have a stump, and there we have a picture of Jesse. Now I'm going to come back more to Jesse in a minute. You'll notice he's asleep, and we'll come back to why he's asleep in a minute or two, but that's no excuse for you to fall asleep at the moment. So, a stump and Jesse. We need to sort of unpack that a bit, perhaps. Go too far. And in our Romans lesson, our lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul obviously felt it was also important to mention this Jesse character, and the root of Jesse will spring up. So these two readings tie together in that sense. So let's think about who Jesse is, and back to thinking about trees, possibly. So Jesse's family tree. If you look in Matthew's Gospel, the very first chapter of Matthew's Gospel has a genealogy, and it explains that Jesse, if you look right at the bottom there, Jesse, who is the father of King David, can trace his ancestry right back to Abraham. I forget how many generations there are. I think there are 13 generations there. I'm not quite sure, 13 or 14. That was thought of as being a vibrant, a healthy tree, a tree to be proud of. And it covers about 1,000 years. And you may think, well, there were 13, if 13 is the right number. Sorry, I can't remember. Thank you, 13, someone's counted them. Isn't probably enough to cover 1,000 years. And we all know that in the Bible there are various characters who are said to live longer than the normal sort of 7, 3 score years and 10. But also I just want to say, if you've done your own family tree, you often find gaps. You know, you can't necessarily always trace everyone. And the important thing is not to necessarily name in each individual, but the fact that it does progress back, in this particular case, does progress back to Abraham. And I don't want you to get hung up on what you might want to call sort of biblical history, the facts of it. It isn't the fact of exactly which generation begot which generation, but the fact that they feel there's a sense of tracing the history back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. So I say it's the important thing is that that tree was understood of something of importance, that King David, the revered king, the son of Jesse, could trace back to Abraham. That was their national identity, if you like. And David, of course, was seen as being chosen by God. You know, he was seen as being almost the sort of the archetypal, the best king they'd ever had. Despite his moral failings, he was revered as the greatest king of Israel. But 300 years later, so we're talking now in the times of Isaiah. Isaiah was talking 300 years later. Isaiah's prophecy, the word of God coming through Isaiah, 300 years later, was saying, this shoot, this stump appears to be dead. The tree that was revered, the tree that identified King David as being a descendant of Jesse, of Abraham, appeared to be dead. And yet the message from God, the message through Isaiah, was that this tree could be revived, that new growth would come. And so then we have to wait another 700 years before it's promised when Jesus comes. So a bit of history, a bit of family history, if you like. Don't worry too much about the intervals, but it's quite a long interval from David back to Abraham, about 1,000 years, 300 years later, Isaiah, 700 years later, we come up to the birth of Christ. So it takes some time for these shoots to grow, if you like, but will bear fruit. The stump was not dead, it was dormant. The stump was dormant, and hence we have this idea of Jesse being asleep. So here's another image of Jesse lying at the bottom asleep, the dormant Jesse not dead, the tree, the family history was not dead, but just dormant, and it grew again to be this wonderful tree which bears fruit. Again, Isaiah said it would bear fruit. There's sort of flowers on this tree. It was a very important imagery in the Middle Ages. This illuminated manuscript is from about 1500. But it shows the principle. Not every generation, you haven't got all the generations in there, haven't got every character, but it shows the principle that Mary, and hence Jesus, was a descendant of Jesse, descendant of King David, and could also therefore root back to Abraham. So it traces Mary and Jesus back to through the line of David, saying not attempting to identify every, in this image, not attempting to identify every generation, but just the principle again of being part of that family, a flowering branch showing the ancestors of Christ. And just as a little aside, Wells Cathedral, I just mentioned that because it's sort of our local cathedral, has a Jesse window in the east end, this window which shows, again, the generations, shows the principle that Christ, Mary, through the birth of Mary, Christ through the birth of, from, sorry, Mary giving birth to Jesus was of the descendant of Jesse, from the descent, and Jesse, really, the real important thing is King David, back to the line of King David. And in this window, we have Jesse asleep, the picture I showed you earlier. We have Mary at the top, and of course, we have Jesus on the cross, showing Jesus as part of that ancestry, part of that line of David. And we often at Christmas talk about, you know, once in Royal David City and the line of David, and all these things crop up. So I just really wanted to explain that in terms of who Jesse was. Jesse, the father of David, the wonderful king that everyone thought was a glorious time, which in Isaiah's time, as we've heard in previous weeks, if you think back to when Fabian was preaching a couple of weeks ago, was saying how at the time of Isaiah, the nation was in turmoil. The nation felt things had come to an end. They were concerned that there wasn't, they'd lost hope. Everything was in dismay. They were spiritually dead, I think, was something that Fabian said. And yet this promise came that things would be improved. So God's promise, in the time of Isaiah, a shoot will come. And I've shown you that in those imagery of branches growing out of the stump. And what fruit will come is this wonderful fruiting of the Spirit, if you like. That the fruit, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Whoever is coming out of the branch, in the family tree, if you like, the branch from the stump of Jesse, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge. Of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wisdom, that sense of supreme knowledge, supreme knowledge and be able to make good decisions from the knowledge. Counsel, to be able to provide sound advice, to be able to use your wisdom to good effect. Might, being able to have power and strength to accomplish the good things that God wants you to. And then the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Fear not in that sense of carrying away, but fear in terms of respect, but the knowledge of the Lord. Some of these aspects were considered to be within David, that revered king. But this is supremely better. This is far more than David had. And the text goes on to say that when this day comes, when this promise is fulfilled, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters covered the sea, that someday the whole world will come to know of the knowledge of God. And so this is the promise. Whoops, this isn't always quite working. This is the promise of the Messiah, that someone will come, as when Isaiah was speaking, that someone will come, will have all this spirit of wisdom and counsel and might. Someone will come who's got this supreme knowledge of God, the promise of the Messiah. And of course, Messiah means anointed. David, as that king, the revered king, was anointed by Saul. Jesus, we think of as the Messiah, anointed by God, anointed, being chosen, being put aside. And of course, the other word for Messiah is Christ. We use the Greek word for Messiah is Christ. So Christ equals Messiah equals anointed. And if you think of anointed, someone who's been particularly chosen by God, set aside. We've used the word holy a number of times in our study of Isaiah and what it means to be holy, to be set aside. And going on in the text in Isaiah, in that day when this is all fulfilled, the root of Jesse, that what was apparently dead, which has sprung to have new life, to have all these wonderful aspects of might and wisdom and power and counsel and understanding, will stand as a banner for the peoples, and the nations will rally to him. Now, thinking back to your family trees, I wonder if any of you have a coat of arms or some heraldic symbol or a flag that you see as something that unites you as a family. I haven't. I don't know how many of you possibly would do, whether you're in some sort of, I can't think how to describe it, some important family who has a coat of arms. But think of flags. Think of our national flag. A national flag is there to provide some sort of unity that we can all gather under it and have some sense of identity. A banner that we can rally round. It says there, rallied round, that says something about our combined identity. And I've created that banner there just to sort of say, well, this is a banner. It's something that's there, that's held high. And in the sense of Isaiah, it's something which says something about the spirit, and hence the dove there, that we can identify ourselves as gathering round under a banner which identifies the spirit of God. And then in Paul's letter to the Romans, he makes this additional point. I tell you that Christ has become a servant to the Jews, so that the promise made to the patriarchs, so we made to all the patriarchs that we saw in that picture of Jesse, the various kings and the leaders of Israel, might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So the promise of Isaiah was not just for the nation of Israel, not just for the Jews, but that it might come to fruition, that Gentiles, we are the Gentiles. The promise made through Isaiah for us 2,700 years ago, when Isaiah made that promise, was not just for the Jewish nation, but for us. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying it wasn't just for Jews, it's for everyone. I remember that phrase, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. It's not just one small nation. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. Sorry, go back one. So I was just going to reread some of the text that was read earlier. Let me just find that in that day, 11. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Sorry, I've got the wrong bit. I was going to jump to Romans, of course. I'm talking about Romans now. So Paul is saying, therefore, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his peoples. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And those texts that Paul is referring to, if you were to look in your Bible in the footnotes, they come from Psalms, they come from 2 Samuel, they come from Deuteronomy. So at numerous places in the Old Testament, it's very clear that the promise of the Messiah, the message from God, is not just for a small nation, but for all people. The Messiah came to redeem us regardless of our nationality, regardless of our background, regardless of our family trees. He came for all of us. So I asked you to think about your family tree and whether it's important to you. We've thought about the generations that have proclaimed God's message, have tried to live according to God's will. We've come to understand who Jesse was and how from the tree of Jesse, from the apparent stump of Jesse, something vibrant has grown, and that there is this promise that more would come. And we thought about rallying round some banner, which in Isaiah's time was very focused on the Spirit of the Lord will come. You may not know what your genetic family tree is. I hesitated really to ask you if you have a family tree, because I know not everyone knows who their family is. But we may not know who our genetic family is, but you can take comfort from the message from Jesus that we are all children of God. We know and we will say later the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. We talk of God as our Father. That is our family. That is the banner. That is what unites us together. Many churches have a banner similar to this. The cross of Christ, the Alpha and Omega, Christ who existed before time throughout eternity. This is the banner that we can assemble around. This is our identity. This is our family. Our church is our family. Our Christian heritage is what makes us into the family of God. One of my favorite verses, I've probably said it to you before, is 1 John 3, chapter 1. Think of the love that the Father has lavished upon us by letting us be called the children of God, for that is what we are. Think of the love that's lavished upon us by allowing us to be his children, identifying us to be his children. Regardless of our background, regardless of our nationality, regardless of our family tree, regardless of whether we know our human parents or not, we are children of God. Children of the creator of the universe, creator of the cosmos, creator of everything. So think of that immense and abundant love that God has for his followers, granting us this status of children. Think of that incredible gift given to us through Jesus, through the Messiah, through the Anointed One, through Christ, that he came to teach us that we are that God's children. We are all God's children. That privilege. So today we are, the message for today, the theme for today is receive his promise. Receive that promise. Receive that understanding that we are children of God. Receive that understanding that God accepts us as his family. Receive the Messiah, his teaching, and indeed his sacrifice. We come to the Holy Communion later. We'll celebrate in our Holy Communion, where we accept the promise that Christ died for us to make it so clear to us that God loves us, that we are acceptable to God as his children. And think also of that stump of Jesse, that stump which appeared dead, dormant, no life. But it signified through Isaiah's promise, this signifying this hope of renewal, of showing that God can bring new, vibrant life. We see that in the story of Isaiah and the message of Christ coming out of that stump, out of that family tree. We see it in terms of that rebirth, in the resurrection of Jesus. To many, when Jesus was on the cross, cut down, appeared dead, gone, and yet rebirth, new life, that God gave that image, that evidence that Christ would live regardless, that his Anointed One would live. And we too, at sometimes, I'm sure we feel a bit cut down. We feel like a dead stump. We feel we haven't perhaps got the full life and vibrancy that we should have. And so we can take heart that God can renew us, can revive us, can restore us. In Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans early on in chapter 8, he says at verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as sonship." Sorry for the male terminology, but sonship in the sense of being the rightful heirs. That's how it was understood in the time of Paul. Adoption as heirs. By him we cry, Abba. We might say, Daddy. Abba, Father. The Spirit that testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And so Paul, in trying to explain to the Gentiles that they are equally chosen people, equal to the Jews of the Old Testament. We also have in Peter's first epistle, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We are all chosen. We are all accepted. We are all set aside. We are all holy. We are children, and we can rally round under the banner the banner that unites us as a family of God's children, of God's family. And so to the final words in the lesson we have this morning, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise that God's Spirit will fill us, that we may have hope, that we may be revived, that we may be enlivened, that we may have shoots of new growth in this world, and dare I say, in the next, that hope of life to come. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.